the Appleville, Missouri NRD Board Directors Meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back hall of the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to Jenna for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and actions. Thank you. Item 3, quorum call, please.
Finley.
Here.
Bonnet.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Yeah.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Kaczynski.
Here.
Stevens.
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. And I have here an excused absence for Director Tim Fowler. Item 4, adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Kaczynski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Beckley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes. Item 4, adoption of the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Moved by second, and there moved by
Bradley. Second, I think.
And Finette. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Kaczynski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Beckley.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes. I have here in the file a proof publication of this meeting notice, publishing the appropriate publications. Moving on to item 8, agency reports, Natural Resource Conservation Report, Andy Bonenkamp. There's a written report. Andy's not here, is he? Written report is there. Directors, do you have any questions? Now's the time, otherwise read it at your leisure. Item 8. B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD, we met in Lincoln this past Sunday and Monday. We have elections, and Orville Gatestead of the Nemaha NRD was elected Association President. I was very pleased with that, as he's been very active in conservation districts around the country. As far as some of the legislation that we discussed, and we'll be hearing a little bit more about that here shortly, but I obviously opposed LB 1023, and at the convention in Kearney, the managers were in favor of it, and the legislative committee, which I sit on, I convinced them to take a neutral stance. And that passed at the convention to be a take a neutral stance, and I'm just beside myself because we're going to build a 4,000 acre lake supposedly on the bank of the Platte River, yet it's going to provide flood control. I wish somebody could please explain to me. I've asked a number of people, including our general manager and a number of others, and nobody can tell me how it's going to provide flood control. But in any event, the other item of LB 1025, the canal bill, we spoke to it again. The membership of the NARD was very much in favor of it, that we get the 500 cubic feet a second water that is being held up in Colorado under the compact, and so we're very supportive of that particular issue. The other item that took a lot of time was our health insurance, the association health insurance. Last year, we took about a $400,000, no, $1.6 million loss. This current year ending, we're looking to be down anywhere from $350,000 to $600,000. That's yet to be determined. And most of that's related to COVID, and obviously we know where some of that came from. But the NARD, it will be determined in the next, within the next 60 days how big an increase we're going to have to take with approval of the Insurance Commission, and we're probably looking somewhere between a 6 to 10% increase. Last year, in the last few years, we've been at 4%, and we still got over $4 million in reserves, but the insurance department wants us to bump that up a little bit and to a more break-even situation. So we will be seeing an increase in insurance rates. Seeing no questions, that concludes my report, sir.
Any questions, Director Teaser? Director Bailey.
I think Director Teaser said he was opposed to LB 1023.
Yes.
And I just want for the record that Director Bradley favors LB 1023.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Shortfall health fund. That's the same fund that we took $900,000 out of to fund the building in Lincoln. And now we're looking at a premium increase.
Okay. We used that money to purchase the our destroyed building to buy a new one, and they took it out of there. Actually, the health insurance company basically owns that building, and we get better write-offs that way. And in fact, we are tax exempt. And the adjoining 10, Nebraska, something, I'm sorry, I can't think of the name, but they're a non-profit also, so it blends in very well. And so I...
The health plan has about $4.5 million in,
that's right, yeah.
In excess funds, so
right,
that will be determined through the process of what gets caught up in increases or what gets taken out of reserves. So that's
what
I'm saying.
So
the fund is very, very fluid.
Yeah, we've never had an indication of what level of reserves they're expecting to see there.
Okay.
I'm surprised that they would suggest an increase in premium without giving us an expected level of capital reserves.
Okay, that's going to be worked on. This is just preliminary. Mm-hmm. This will be coming within the next 60 days, the full breakdown, and I'll be able to report on that next meeting.
That'll be interesting.
I'm on the benefits committee, so we'll move before I host it in a year.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item C, Natural Resources Commission, Director Ray Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. on February 23rd, 2022, went to Kearney, and that was, out of the 3 or 4 years I've been doing this, one of the coldest trips to Kearney on that one. That was a cold one. But what I have to report, I guess the DNR is moving to full brick April 1st. I understand they're moving into that full brick building. Natural Resources Water Quality Fund status up to $825,000. On the water well decommissioning fund status, they're asking NRDs for money back if there's any unused money for the water well decommissioning. But as assistant treasurer, sometimes treasurer, sometimes assistant treasurer for this NRD, we're always, helping people decommission water wells. So I don't know if our NRD in particular would be refunding any of that money. The Blair project is moving forward, is what they said, and that there's low river levels. So they've made note of that, low river levels, and the Blair project moving forward. Executive Committee, possible action. There was no action from the governor. And for those to know, governor-appointed positions, there's seven positions that will be open on that NRC, Natural Resource Commission. And then longtime Commissioner Lauren Taylor will step down, not reapplying, and John Heaston is not reapplying, if you remember any of those gents. There was a discussion on streaming Zoom, and they voted to not do any Zoom. So I guess for those broadcast or the Natural Resource Commission meetings, there was a mention of the NRC commissioners to maybe visit the Papio, Missouri NRD and see some of the projects or what we do around here. I said, well, I thought we had some folks come out earlier this year, but I said, yeah, we'd be open to if they want to come out and rent a couple of vans and take them to some projects. And that seemed to be it. That's my report.
Okay. Any questions for Director Bradley? MD Legislative Report, Catalyst Public Affairs, Tim Gay.
Thank you. Tim Gay with Catalyst Public Affairs. I handed out a report. We sent this to John, too, but I'll fill in the blanks a little bit. We're two-thirds of the way to legislature, 39 days out of the 60. They're going to meet, and all the hearings are over, which is good. Thank goodness there's 680 bills they had to have hearings on, so all that's done. They're in full debate right now, and right now they're doing a gun bill, but anyway, the bills that I put on here are the lakes, obviously, are the biggest thing going on right now in the canal. But LB 805, that one, the riparian bill, that did get their $3 million. We did talk to Senator Hughes to help. He asked us to talk to Senator Lathrop, which we did. Lathrop still voted against it, but he didn't argue too much. But anyway, there were several bills in that. So it should be going through pretty quickly, I think. It's on select file, and they have the money. It didn't seem like a big deal, especially this year. There's a lot of money that's floating around, so what's $3 million, I guess? So they doubled the price. But anyway, the other things on here I'd wanted to talk about is, and I heard earlier discussion, LB 1023 and the canal project. LB 1023 is the Star Wars project, and that's the different lakes and a potential lake in Sarpy County or somewhere in this area. But anyway, that bill really was debated all day yesterday, all morning. It passed, but just on that bill, the lake portion here got most 90% of all the discussion all morning. There's a lot of critical on that, and there's a lot of good on it. So they went back and forth at the end of the day. You can see they voted on there, I think, was it 29? They got 29 votes in favor. 10 or 12 people at least were just not voting. I think a lot of it was, we don't know on the money how much we can all give to it and this and that. But the different projects were to fund the current existing lake projects like marinas and things like that, at Lewis and Clark Lake, McConaughey, and I forget what the other one is. And then a dam site up by Schuyler that would do some flood control, and then the lake. So anyway, there were three of the projects went through swimmingly. These people talked them up, and I think they're going to do that with $150 million they're going to invest, possibly, into those different current recreational lakes. So make big improvements in that flood control project. The big Star Wars thing, they're creating a committee, and why they call it Star Wars, it's some acronym for whatever. But anyway, they're going to create a committee that would be around till 2026, to continue to make sure the projects get bid and developed and all that, if they put money into this, and then also to do this lake study, $20 million for a lake study. And part of that, I heard back and forth whether you like it or not, the one thing they're going to look at is, the first thing they're going to look at is water, how it would affect the current wells that are in that area. And if that would have any effect at all, they're going to do an independent water study. If it has any effect at all on the MUD wells or the Lincoln water supply, that will be the end of that lake at that point. And they've all but said that on the mic. There are a lot of issues from different senators about how you're going to acquire the land, the public-private partnership, and the public access to the land, and then who would manage it. The one thing for you, they did say the Department of the Game and Parks does not want to manage this lake if it would ever come around. Of course, if it would be quite a few years down the road. That could be whatever under your jurisdiction maybe sometime, but that's something to watch and make sure. Like I say, this is a long ways off, and even they said there's a long ways to go. So I think with three good things on there, they might try to divide this somehow and get the funding for those three projects, and then who knows what will happen on the study of the lake. So a lot of things to go. There's a second round debate coming up. If you'd like, John, I could get we can send a link that you could send out if people want to watch it when it comes up. We'll send that to John because we'll kind of know when it's going to come up, and then you can just watch the live debate at that point. So we'll send that to General Manager Winkler, and you can watch because there's still a lot of things to be decided on that. On the other bill that's of huge interest is the Perkins County Canal. That's that same thing there generated a lot of questions. Not as much, I don't think, as the lake proposals. But that one was same thing. A lot of people didn't vote on that, I think, because of the money. Watching the debate, it seemed like most people were talking in favor of it. And then there's a few that weren't, of course. But it's like it went on for quite some time, and it's like, well, passed fairly easily. So I didn't think that was as controversial. What I did hear on that is $20 million for a study from the appropriations, because all these things you can do something here, but you got to get it funded. So they want $20 million for a study on that as well, and then $30 million to start trying to acquire leases, which, whatever. So they're trying to get $50 million of general fund money from that as well. And all this money is not coming from ARPA, the federal government money. This is all in general fund money. So they're trying to get tax cuts, lakes, all these things done. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they end up doing, because they're kind of like have a huge amount of money in the general fund and $1.5 billion extra from tax revenues. Then they have another $1.4 billion in government money they've got to spend. So it is just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it on the funding. How it all ends up, it's going to be interesting. So next time I'm here, we'll talk more. That's kind of where we're at. The main things, a couple other bills that were out there. The Natural Resources Commission, which usually does most all of your bills, right? There were no bills this year on a couple of things we watched last year, which is good. The budget restraints, the infringement on local control, I'd call it, but budget constraints. There's none of those things this year. Not a ton of Open Meetings Act issues. Some of those things that were pretty prominent last year didn't really get on the radar this year, I assume, because of the money situation where they had other things to look at. But I would say part of that is very good news, and I would credit a little bit. When they did the interim study, remember, John and others went down, and they did an interim study on all the natural resource districts around the state, and I think that turned out very well, quite honestly, and that's why you probably don't have a lot of legislation to do things. A lot of focus is on public power right now, so you kind of dodged a bullet this year on those kind of things. I think the NARD did a great job, too, of making sure that didn't happen. So, I mean, right now we're just continuing to watch these bills and how they would affect you and where they're at. I assume the studies, when they do these studies, I know John pays attention and all that, but it's usually a group of senators, and then I think the governor gets to pick a few people to be on there. So a lot to happen yet. So,
Tim, two questions. The first, the property in Colorado, that'll all be leased property?
Right now?
I mean, can Nebraska buy Colorado?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that part. As all I know, I talked to appropriations chair last night, and that's what they're doing. That's what's in the appropriations.
Yeah, we were scratching our head on that Monday. The other issue, LB 805 discussion came up yesterday in a meeting I had in Wahoo. Originally, it came out that, and I was questioning General Manager Winkler about it, that all ground within the flood plain would be eligible, and then I think it got changed to all waterways. Is that the way you understand it?
Yeah, I will check. The last they left it was, your concern was, don't expand it out too far because...
Don't take a cornfield where there's no running water.
Right.
Let the farmer kill his own weeds.
Yeah, it's on select file. Let me check. And your question again was...
Is it only for moving actual streams in the flood plain, not...
No.
Not the entire flood plain.
No, it's to focus on that part, the repairing in the streams. That's the point we got to Hughes and others and didn't want to change. John wrote a letter on that. It is bigger because they got more money. He said during the hearing that's the focus, to stay on what we're currently doing. However, there are times when they need to go here or there or whatever. So I assume whoever manages all those projects is going to find the most effective place you could work. So, and that hearing was pretty early months ago, so I don't remember exact same thing, but I can ask that question.
I appreciate
and
it.
Find out. I don't know if he's going to go back and change it on select file.
Well, I think it's okay. I just wanted to ask you to make sure.
Well, your concerns, I know, and your concerns were definitely given to the right people. We did educate Senator Lathrop a little bit what's happening around this area, and he understood a little more. There was also that prairie dog management and some other things in that bill, so people might have just like, I'm not going to deal with it, so...
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other comments? Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I was wondering if you could refresh my memory, maybe our memory, on the interim study on the NRDs, which senator was calling for that?
The insurance study?
Interim study.
23.
Oh, the interim. I'm sorry. That was Senator Erdman.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was, he's from out in North Platte, Ogallala area. But, he did that study kind of on his own, and there were others that did it. But, like I say, I think he turned out, and if John wants to say, he was kind of impressed. I think he told John, hey, you gave me the most information of anyone during the hearing. He said this, so that's good. So nothing bad came of it, so I assume the interim hearing satisfied his needs because there's no bill like, let's cut their funding or anything like that. To me, that's a success.
Or give them a raise.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Thank you.
Tim, thanks for the report. I was actually reading about the canal on the lake yesterday in the paper, and I was kind of surprised to see so many senators that were there present abstaining from voting. Is that pretty common, or are they looking for more information, or what? Why would they do that? I mean,
two reasons, and this is just my speculation on it, watching the same thing, is I think there are two reasons. There's a lot of moving parts to these things. On some of the Star Wars, the lake thing and all that, if you weren't on that committee, there's not that much information that's out there. They did give a link to it to the other senators on the floor, and I will send you that, John. I should have got it. But it's still kind of a proposal like this. No one's seen this one, where the details are. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. That's why they debated it for 5 hours. And a lot of them, like I said, the money part, there's so much demand for tax cuts on those dollars, on our tax dollars, and the $1.4 billion of the federal government dollars. There's so much demand right there that they don't know where all this money is going to go. So I think a lot of them who are just kind of kept powder dry kind of.
And they're going to figure all this out in 30 days?
20 days.
29?
Yeah. 11 working nights and 20 working days, I guess. So they'll do night, and they're all just doing debate. But it's going to be interesting. I'm sure this will get heard.
Because they have to come up with something to do with all the COVID money this year. They can't put that off, can they?
Well, they can't use that for the lake stuff. But there's $4 billion worth of requests for $1.4 billion of money.
Wow.
So, anyway, it's going to be a interesting time.
It's going to be late nights.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So anyway, but that's the good. And I know, Director Thompson, you have that. Senator McDonald was awesome to help us out, and Senator Arch's office as well to help to do that. So we got a nice resolution from Marlin. So that was, I would give kudos to Senator McDonald and Senator Arch for helping on that. So.
And I'll segue into Resolution 297, one that I'm sad to read, but on the other hand, I'm proud to read. I'll go ahead and read it. It's a nicely framed resolution signed by Mike Hilder, Speaker of the House, or Speaker of the Legislature, and Patrick O'Donnell, Clerk of the Legislature. The 107th Legislature, second session, introduced by Senator McDonald. Whereas Mr. Marlin John Peterson will be remembered as a loving husband, a devoted father, and a steadfast public servant. And whereas Mr. Peterman attended the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where he received Bachelor of Science degrees in Civil Engineering and Agricultural Engineering. And whereas Mr. Peterman served as Assistant General Manager for the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District for almost 48 years and was regarded as an institution in flood fighting efforts to protect the public. And whereas Mr. Peterman, his team, and various emergency management partners made critical decisions before, during, and after the 2019 flood that not only minimized immediate destruction, but put in motion strategies that further reduced damage to vital infrastructure and communities, such as Offutt Air Force Base and the City of Bellevue. And whereas Mr. Peterman was a father of four children and grandfather to 9 grandchildren, and whereas Mr. Peterman passed away on December 22, 2021 at the age of 72, and whereas Mr. Peterman will be greatly missed by his family and by the many friends and colleagues to whom he made great contributions. Now, therefore, be resolved by the members of the 107th Legislature of Nebraska, second session. Number one, that the legislature honors Mr. Marlin John Peterman for his dedication to the practice of engineering, passion for natural resource management, and the role in public safety. Number two, that the legislature offers its condolences to the family of Mr. Peterman. And three, that a copy of this resolution be sent to the family of Mr. Peterman. Signed, Mike Hilders and Patrick O'Donnell. It's a beautiful document. This goes to the family, or will be this will present, and I wish they were here to accept it.
Yeah.
But it's nice and it's sad.
Yeah.
So.
And that is actually a nice one, because usually it's just on a piece of paper like this. So we kind of did it right. I would say, Director Thompson, that was your staff that wrote that. So your own staff kind of helped so much to put all those facts and figures in there. And they reviewed this a couple of times, too, as we're working on it. So kudos to John and the staff for helping on that.
Well, it's nice to see it work through the legislative process to get to at least this point from Marlin's honor.
We'll send the link to the lake, the information that's currently out there, to John, and we'll send a link next time they debate it if you're got 4 or 5, 6 hours and you want to watch it. Anyway, all right.
Thanks, Tim. Yep, thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to item 9, Happy Missouri Natural Resource District public hearing on proposed right-of-way acquisition, no-name dike high ground easement project. Hereby appoint, call to order at 4:29. And I hereby appoint Hearing Officer John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice was listed in the Omaha World Herald February 28th and the Omaha World Herald March 3rd. Explanation of the hearing, or purpose of the hearing, Brent Meyer.
Thank you, General Manager Winkler. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with the Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the no-name dike high ground easement project and the reason for selecting a particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition, and has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Agenda item 5 is identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the notice of proposed acquisition and notice of public hearing. Exhibit 3 is the proof of publication of the hearing notice, which again was in the February 28th and March 3rd Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 4 is a project location map. Exhibit 5 is a list of landowners sent certified mail, notice of proposed acquisition, and notice of public hearing. Exhibit 6 is a certified mail return receipts. Exhibit 7 is a Union Dyke fact sheet. Exhibit 8, Sokol Camp Edition lot number map. Exhibit 9, no-name dyke high ground easement diagram. Exhibit 10, high ground easement elevation table. Exhibit 11, national flood hazard layer map. Agenda item 6, explanation and purpose and scope of the project, Martin Cleveland.
Thank you, John. If you go to the map with the fact sheet, Bill, it's kind of a blue diagram, and then I'll give you a little brief history, real brief history, on why we're here tonight. It's like a blue and white a fact sheet. A little further on. Okay, then the second sheet, right there, okay. Hopefully everybody can see this. This is a map that shows the overall Union Dyke and No Name Dyke project. Fremont's up at the upper end of the map where the little red dot's at. It starts at the railroad track up there called the Brunson Northern Santa Fe. That's a high ground tie-off point for us. And then down, goes down along the Platte and actually crosses over Highway 64, another high ground tie-off point. It ends down at the UP tracks right near the end of Ginger Woods, south end of Ginger Woods. And No Name Dyke then runs from that point another 2 miles. So Union Dyke's 9.5 miles long. No Name's 2 miles long. The history of the whole thing, what happened is 1919, Union Dyke was built. Okay, and so in 1975, district came into existence as the NRD, and we were asked to take over, NRD was asked to take over that dike and maintain it. So the district did that. In the late 80s, after the 78 flood is part of the reason why this happened, but after that flood event, it was recognized we needed to upgrade that levee. So we met with the people out there and had an advisory committee. We actually met multiple times in the valley. Went to Valley so many times, I ran it, you know, my car knew how to get out there. But basically, the bottom line is the advisory committee recommended that we do some additional work on this no-name dike area. We call it no-name dike, south of Ginger Woods. That was built also in 1920, roughly, we think. The drainage district that built that one defunct in 1930, so it just was abandoned for years and was overgrown with trees. It had mostly sand material and it was not in very good shape, quite honestly. But the district recognized that water from the Platte would back into Valley and also go downstream, too. So it all drains basically from the Platte over to Elkhorn, kind of east, west to east direction, and a southeasterly direction, actually. And so at that time, the advisory committee said, you know, this dike is really in poor shape. If you don't fix it, water's going to come in here, and all the work you spent on this dike up here, $2 million would just be wasted money. So let's go ahead and fix this dike where we're at it. So the board at the time said, you know, this is a good idea. And actually a later study by a consultant for us, HWS, said, actually, that's true. It would actually flow back into Valley. That dike would break. So let's go on to the overall picture of the project, Bill. It's kind of a colored, go back the other direction. You had the map earlier on, right? Just right there, okay. So, again, Valley's up here at the upper end of the map. UP tracks are here. And so as near as we can tell, you know, again, we came into this project about late 80s, 1980s roughly. District was asked to take over this project, which had been here for years. No maintenance was done on it. So we had to actually acquire easements. There was no easements that we could actually transfer to us from this drainage district. So the district took these easements, actually acquired easements from the owners at free cost, to build this project and spent about $500,000 to upgrade what you see in yellow. And so the yellow part is what's been upgraded. This section is what we call the high ground area, and why we're here tonight, why we're talking about this. At that time, the dike tied into this high ground area, and we had a consultant actually look at that for us and say, okay, does this area have any merit as a high ground area to tie a dike off into? And the result of their comment actually was the existing embankment between 8750 and 191, located in the area known as Soka Camp, was investigated in the same criteria as Union Dike and No Name Dike improvements. It was found that the width and height of this existing embankment was substantial enough to provide protection from the base flood, except for an area at the very south end, which was improved later by the district. So at the very south end, the people that were familiar with it, there was about a 300-foot stretch that was actually up to 100-year flood level, but it didn't include any freeboard, so we added another 3 foot of freeboard to that area to get high enough. And so let's go on to the map of the Soka Camp area, give you a little bit of a better drawing of what actually we're looking at. Again, I think the dike's kind of off this picture a little bit, but Union Dike, No Name Dike, actually goes off right here, and then it's also down right here. So basically, this is what we call the high ground area. It slots 38 through, take a look at here. Through 454. So again, those are lots that were comprised as a high ground area. If you go to the diagram next, Bill. So we looked at this. We recently, you know, for 30 years, obviously, this has been okay. I mean, the easement, there was no easement on this property, but we realized after some things that happened in the last year and a half that we really have no control. Go back to the one that actually is a white, black and white diagram at the very end of the series of stuff. It's the other direction. Okay, a little further. Right there, okay. We discovered, you know, that we really have no legal right to control this. And so the thought is now to rectify what wasn't done 30 years ago. And it's probably a hindsight thing. You know, a lot of things in life, you look back and say, I do things differently. You know, but that's the case what happened here. So the district said, let's try to address this issue. If you look at this cross-section, this is kind of a typical No-Name Dike section. The overbuilt or the high ground area is substantially wider on top, and also it's taller in a lot of cases than the actual No-Name Dike. So this easement would be to restrict any degradation, you might say, or lowering of this embankment below this dash line. So above that, you could do whatever you want. You could basically, you could cut it down to this line if you wanted to, and that would be fine. Also, as far as the existing houses and stuff, nothing's being impacted by this easement. It's just strictly to restrict it from going down, lowering this property down. So you can do whatever you want on top. Existing improvements in the embankment, such as utilities, would be to remain as is. You can replace those. That type of thing is all allowed under the easement. And so go to the next table, Bill. So we've prepared a table that shows on each of the lots, and so there's from lot 38 down to 54. It shows the owner's name, of course. You've all received this in the past, but it shows the easement restricted elevation, and so that would be the elevation in the easement that would be defined as the minimum elevation that you can't go down below. And so you can go down to that point, but you can't go down below that. And so the district realizes, of course, this is impacting your property. There's need for some compensation for that. So we've hired an appraiser to actually appraise each one of these lots before and after valuation, determine the value. And so that step would be that would be then for later for a negotiator to come out and actually meet with you and go through you with you with this easement and also the proposed offer on that property. So there'd be a proposed offer on your easement to acquire this. So I guess that's really the overall explanation. Just wanted to give you a little bit of history of the project and also what we're trying to do here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cleveland. The next agenda item is receive testimony and statements. Is there anyone from the public that would like to provide any testimony or statements on the public hearing? Okay, I'll ask a second time. Does anyone want to provide any statements?
Yeah. Come up to the podium, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Thiel. I live at 29011 Platte River Plaza. I'm the Vice President of the Sokol Camp Association Executive Board. A few questions that I have, and I don't remember if it was mentioned in here or not, but what company did the most recent land survey for the high ground lots?
Martin, don't go away.
Quick question, we did the survey. Yes, the people who are out there recently did a survey. It was actually district staff, so we have a licensed surveyor on staff. So they actually place those stakes that you see out in the field. Mm-hmm. Each of the property, they put the minimum elevation stake. So they try to do at least a couple spots at each location, each lot. So that's what that represents. You see the stakes out there today. They're probably still there, in fact. So that's what that's for.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you. And I did notice on one of your tables there that there were elevations. Now, the question I have, were all of the people listed here, have they received an elevation certificate from FEMA?
I can respond to that question. The elevations on this table are actually derived from Douglas County GIS. So we actually looked at it's basically a map system that has elevations on it. So we determined from that the approximate elevation of the property. It could be off about a half foot or so because it's not 100% exact. It's like close, but not, you know, the actual survey quality would be a little better. So we went and looked at the maps and determined the lowest and the highest point elevation-wise, and that's what's on the table. So it's not an elevation certificate. That would be something you'd actually have to hire an engineer or a surveyor to physically survey the property. But this gives you an idea that the properties are fairly high in most cases, above our required elevation. I should say, too, also comment that the easement elevation is reflecting the dike elevation. So the dike elevation was built in the late 80s, early 90s, and at that time it was built to the 100-year level, plus about 1.4. What's happened over the years, FEMA's revised the floodplain elevations. They've now made, because they added ice to the calculations, the elevations are much higher than they were back in 87 through 91. And so that levee now is roughly a 50-year level protection, 50 to 100-year, somewhere between that elevation. It's not 100-year anymore because this ice effect is like basically clogging the river with ice, and basically it dams up behind that ice and you get high stages. So the elevation you have to build a house to, if you're going to build a house or elevate or build something on your house, you have to build to a newer elevation. It's a higher elevation than we had used back in the late 80s. So the elevation today would be a couple feet higher probably than what we had for the dike. So the dike elevation in the high ground area is actually not as high as the new 100-year elevation. If we did that, it would be much higher.
Okay. Thank you. One other question. Does the NRD have the grandfather certificates for these lots? For, like, insurance purposes, those types of things?
We're not aware of any certificates that we have on the lots. So we have on lot 38, which is owned by the Sokol Camp, we actually have an easement on that, and you probably are familiar with that. And that's a restrictive elevation easement, kind of like we're asking for these other lots, similar idea. But there's nothing that we know of as far as historical stuff. In fact, like again, the Drainage District did something back in the 30s. We found a few information items that said that they were involved, but they didn't record anything or nothing was found as a long-term title to the property. So it would have been nice if they would have had these things transferred to us, but they went defunct in the 30s. We existed in 75 on, so there's no connection there, unfortunately. And so that's why the dike was basically an overgrown kind of mess when we took it over in the 80s.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to provide any comments or testimony?
You got a date coming up.
Yeah.
My name is Joe Blankman. I live in Omaha, but I have a cabin at 28706 Sokol Plaza. And I have some questions. Is the easement, I'm sorry, I don't know who answers these. Is the easement for access only?
The easement is both an ingress, egress, access, although we may have changed it slightly.
24 hours now, there's 24 hours.
Yeah, but also there's a restriction on where you can excavate. So that,
okay. And does the easement allow, and then the reason I'm asking this is my cabin doesn't sit on the dike, it sits in front of it. And they don't want the easement on the dike, they want my whole property. And does this, the easement, because I'm in front of the stakes, I'm in front of that to the road, they want my whole property, does it allow them to come and, like, say they want to put a bunch of rock down, they want to reinforce this dike, does that give them, does that let them allow them to do that? That's what I'm asking.
So on the specifics of the topography of your property, we're going to have Midwest right-of-way, I think, right. Potentially. Negotiate and answer those questions specifically about your property. As far as the rights for putting material onto your property, that's not covered in the easement. It's just ingress, egress, and you can't excavate under the elevation.
Yeah, and I understand that. Yeah. I can't do anything anyway because I'm on a floodplain. I have to raise up to do anything. That's just part of the deal. I mean, we're on the floodplain. Anybody at Sokol Camp has to raise up to do anything. A lot of the other properties are already on the dike, which is higher. But I had access. I just was curious. I don't know what it allows. What does easement allow them to do? So anyway, I have one last question. What does the easement? Why doesn't it include the actual dike? Because mine's behind. The dike is behind me. Why doesn't it include? Why don't you want to see your own dike? You don't have access to that. If you don't, because the stakes are, they take the top of the dike, but the stakes, according to what I was told, is they want all my property, they don't want the dike. On my particular property, I'm behind the dike. I'm in front of the dike, between the river and the dike.
Right, there's actually an easement for the dike. The dike is actually what we call a permanent easement, so the district acquired right away from the various owners that own the property there.
Okay, so it's already your area.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's just what I had a question on.
Just so we're clear, we're talking about, when he says they, talking about us, the NRD, is that correct?
No. The dike is right here.
I'm sorry, when he's talking about they, like the numbers. Yes, we have easement rights to the dike behind his property.
Those houses are all on the high spot.
Yeah. Already, yeah, that's existing. I would just add for the group out here, if you have specific questions about the easement document, I think we shared a copy when we met with the group before, but when the land rights negotiator will meet with you, which is 30 days from this hearing or a little bit after 30 days, they'll have a copy and you can look at that document, so like the specific questions. And there's ability to ask questions at that point, too.
Good afternoon. I'm Frank Krupa, and I am the president of Sokol Camp. So all that stuff comes back to me. I get my phone rung every day.
And Frank, could you give your address, please?
Of my 284...
Your home.
Oh, 17795 Shadow Ridge Drive is where I live. That's my summer place. I have a very simple question. My question is, we have wooden stakes with a mark on them right now. What happens if that stake goes away? Is there any way, when I had my property surveyed, they had metal stakes painted orange, so I know exactly where my property is? Is there a possibility those could be replaced with something that's permanent, that we can have an idea that can be marked for permanent instead of just the wooden stakes? I'm just asking for later, because I don't know how a wooden stake will get broke, might get broke off any time with a mower or something, and then all of a sudden we don't have an elevation. And then we go back to having it surveyed again. And that's all I'm asking. No tough problem. I understand what's going on, and I'm not unhappy with it. It's just later on with just a piece of wood there. If you can handle that for me, gentlemen, I love all of you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do for all our waterways. You do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Martin?
I'll respond to that question. The stakes were just intended to be kind of a temporary thing. They're basically wood last, so people could actually see where that elevation is at. We can certainly put in a permanent pin or something like that so people know in the future, hey, this is where the elevation is at. That's not a problem to put something that's more permanent looking, because I agree the wood last would be gone in a few months, you know, if you get some weather that's bad and the wind blows them over or something like that. We actually have this, all this is surveyed, has been, it's all recorded electronically, so there's no problem of reestablishing it at any time anyway, but we can put in a more permanent type monument when we get ready to do the actual easement acquisition, or when we agree to this, I guess.
Okay, one final time. Is there anyone else that has any public comment or any input? Okay, seeing none, agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits as outlined, and agenda item 9 is the hearing adjourned at 4:53 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, folks, for coming. You're welcome to stick around the rest of the meeting. And we'll be moving on here to item 10, subcommittee reports. Item 10A, program projects, operations, Director Fred Conley.
10A, 1, 2, and 3. 10A, be it resolved that the minutes of the March 8, 2022 meeting of the program projects and operations subcommittee are accepted, incorporating these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area, IPA Operation and Maintenance Assessment, recommendation the following resolution be adopted. Elkhorn River Bank Stabilization Improvement Project, Annual Operation and Maintenance Assessment. Be resolved that the Board of Directors of the Papier, Missouri River Natural Resources District, each of the lots and parcels of ground in Douglas County, Nebraska, identified in 2022 assessment schedule attached hereto as Exhibit A and incorporated herein by reference, has been specifically benefited by the district's program of operation and maintenance upon the construction and capital improvements involved with the district Elkhorn Riverbank Stabilization Improvement Project. The specific benefits from such program of operation and maintenance are correctly set out in the respective amounts appearing opposite the designation of said lots and parcels of ground in said schedule. As such respective amounts appearing opposite said lots and parcels of ground in said schedule are hereby are levied in as special assessment against such lots and parcels of ground, and that such assessment shall become due 50 days after date to which shall become due on April 29, 2022, and be paid within said time without interest, but if not paid by April 29, 2022, each such assessment shall draw interest at the rate of 9% per annum from and after date until delinquent, and from and after date that each installment becomes delinquent shall draw interest at the rate of 14% per annum until paid. Be it resolved, further resolved, that the Secretary of the District shall certify a copy of this levy resolution to the County Clerk and County Treasurer of Douglas County, Nebraska, for spreading the same on the tax records of such county, and such special assessment shall be collected by the County Treasurer as provided by law. Number two, no name
that. That's the first one. We got to move on to that's item 1A.
Okay. I saw the
A1. Any public comments on that? Directors? Roll call.
Hi. David.
Yes.
Jack. McCormick.
Yes.
Kinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Eglin.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes. I have number two, be it further resolved that the Secretary of the District shall certify a copy of this levy resolution to the County Clerk and County Treasurer of Douglas County, Nebraska, for spreading the same on the tax records of such county, and such assessment shall be collected by the county treasurer as provided by law.
Okay, move to item two.
Item two. No name dike, high ground project professional service agreement with the Midwest right away. Recommendation that the policy 15.2 purchasing professional services be waived and that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed professional services agreement Midwest Right Away Services Inc. for the No Name Dike High Ground project with the maximum not to exceed $58,500, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as the form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Directors? I might add, for this is the contract that, as was mentioned during the public hearing, will create the documents that we talked about. Is that correct? All right. Any other comments? Roll call.
David
Lynch.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Lipinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Edwin.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Item 10A3, Little Papio Creek Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project, Group A, Construction Bids. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with MC Wells Contracting, LLC, in the amount of $4,491,531 for the construction of the Little Papio Creek Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project, Group A, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as the district legal form, and I so move.
Any public comments? Roll call.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Lipinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Conley. Item 10B, FEL, Director Education.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the March 8, 22 meeting of the FEL subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, 2019 Big Papio Creek cost share funds exceeding FY22 budget. Recommendation that the transfer of $50,000 from account 01044195-507 to account 01044195503 be adopted and is hereby approved. I so move.
Any public comments? Is any public still out there? They'll leave. Directors? Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Lipinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Beckley.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Item 2, land acquisition for West Papillion Regional Basin Number 1, WP1. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute the purchase agreement with Daniel D. and Alice J. Van Ann for the purchase of 7.53 acres for the construction of WP1 Regional Detention Basin Project for a total amount of $489,450, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and for approval to form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Any public comments?
Director. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Item 11 is taken from the table, consideration of groundwater monitoring joint fund agreement the USGS carried out over the Board of Directors meeting held February 10th. I hereby move we take it off the table to discuss. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded over here somewhere. So, is Paul here? Is anyone from USGS here?
No, they're not here tonight.
Okay. Where we left this is the consideration of whether the other NRDs are getting a better deal than us and what testing is required. And you've got some additional data or not?
Yeah, we've provided an additional memo here. If you go up to the first page of that, Paul Woodward, groundwater management engineer. We went through, we're able to contact the three adjacent NRDs and work with them on what we felt was a very comparable cost to implementing their monitoring program. All were either very comparable or a little bit more than what we would spend just from our NRD funds on the USGS program. Then we also went through a process of comparing our staff time, kind of apples to apples to what USGS had, and then talked to the laboratory or Midwest Labs here as well to get a price for what it would take to them to do those tests. They weren't quite able to do all the tests that USGS does.
Before you go on, this memo, by the way, is in your binder. It's got a little blue flag on it.
Yeah.
What he's talking about. It's okay, continue.
Okay, and so when we came up with our total, we were over, to do it internally, we're over what it would take us to pay USGS to do it as well. So that's where that comparison came out. Then the only other thing we wanted to make note of in the memo, go to the second page. We do, although we don't apply for grants, this is kind of an automatic thing. We do get funding from the Natural Resources Water Quality Fund every year. Our recent receipt has been about $40,000 for that. So just to give us some comparison of what we're actually using district funds for, instead of $622,000, it's closer to $422,000. So we get a little bit of help each year, too, from this fund that's collected from the receipts of pesticide and applicator license fees. So be happy to answer any questions.
Any public comments on this recommendation? We've already had the motion to approve last month. We don't have to re-motion this. We took out the table. Now we're back to active discussion.
Technically, we need to do a vote on taking it off the table. You motioned it in a second, but you didn't get a roll call vote on taking it off the table.
Did we not do that?
No. We had a second, but we didn't.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, roll call to continue discussion on this.
All right.
Caesar.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Cormick.
Yes.
Stensky.
Yes. Chippas. Yes, so rewind the tape, and now we can talk about what Paul just said. So there's an active recommendation on the table now to approve $622,500. So any public comments on that? I'll readdress it. Okay. Directors. Director Bradley.
Mr. Chairman, so just want to ask Paul, would staff, I mean, do you recommend that we continue on with the partnership with USGS then?
Yes, we do. It seems like it's most inclusive and is still very comparable value.
I've got comments, as I did last month. Paul, in our binder here, is there the breakdown, or is that from last month that I just saved, of the $622,000?
No, we wouldn't have it in that part. We could go back to last month, I suppose.
I'll just share my notes here with the directors. I questioned last month the hourly rate. This breakdown they come up with has, for example, lead sampler, GS9, second sampler, et cetera, et cetera, at an hourly rate of $56.50, $52.50, around that. I questioned USGS on how they come up with this breakdown. and I didn't get a satisfactory answer. I'll get to the hourly rate in a minute, but we've got the breakdown of the personnel, various costs, overtime, travel, vehicles, training, the lab costs, or total project expenses, $119,000. I'm looking at fiscal year 23. $119,623. Total indirect cost, $76,577, which I never got an answer from on that. I wish you had this in front of you. Are you digging, Bill? Good for you. Estimated total project requirements, for example, FY23. Huh?
Was that it? Yeah, kind of going down and trying to figure out if it was. I don't know if it was attached to the original memo, actually. We don't actually have that in there. So we don't actually have that available.
All right, well, anyways, then they also added a contingency with their personnel costs. For example, the cost of $60,380, contingency of about 9.4%. So I questioned their hourly rate, and the response I got was, well, that includes the health benefits, overhead, leave, and all that. And I still question it because they've got the other overhead costs above. I had Bill, now you can show the chart that I shared. If you can read this. That's the current rate of a salaried employee in Omaha for USGS or any federal agency. If you look down to grade 9, and I took the middle column, step 5. For those of you who weren't government employees, you start out at step 1 ordinarily. It takes a year to go to step 2, another year to go to step 3. It takes 2 years to go to step 4, 2 years to go to 5, 2 years to go to 6, another 3 years to 7, 8, 9. Eventually reading the step 10 where you're at the top of your competency level. Anyways, if you look at GS9 step 5, $62,414, we're kind of in the middle there. That equates to $30 an hour compared to their $56.50. And then even if you add like 30% fringe benefits, which 25 to 30% you guys have been in business, that's, you know, $39 an hour. We're still a far cry from $56.50 an hour. And I have a problem with that. If you apply that same to GS-11, which has 72 hours and 100 hours during this year, it's basically $47 an hour versus what they're saying, $63 an hour. So they put some costs in there that I don't like and I don't have an explanation for. And, Paul, I'm not expecting you to unless you know the answer, why they included such a high cost for their hourly rate, plus added the other incidentals, like in the overtime equipment, the cost money to do the lab. It's apparently a separate employee doing that, which hopefully is not down to the people doing the actual sampling. Consequently, I'm showing that our share should be a lot less. I mean, without showing you and boring you with the numbers. So I'm not happy with the actual dollar amount. I'm okay with us doing the agreement with the USGS because you've proven it's too costly to do it in-house, which is fine, or the other NRDs. They're spending a lot of time and energy and money doing it. So I'm okay with the agreement. I'm just not happy with the cost. Can you add? Can you help me out here without them being here, without tabling it another month or what?
No, I think that the task was that we told you we would do when you tabled it in last month was we would look at the product we were getting and we would analyze what other districts are doing and how we could do it if we could do it cheaper. The simple answer is I don't know how USGS calculates their estimates or their budget. I don't know. Too many people maybe that work at the agency know exactly how they come up with those numbers. That might be a government accountability question. But that was beyond what we were tasked to do. I think what we looked as a, can we do it cheaper? We can't. And can we do it better? We can't. Midwest Labs can't even do 10 different tests that USGS does. So if we did it ourselves, it would be more expensive and it'd be an inferior product. That's what we were tasked to do. I can't answer, and I don't think Paul can, USGS is where they come up with their estimate. But that wasn't part of our analysis, and this is. So that's why we're recommending what we are recommending. We can try to dive into that more, Jim, and if I can get somebody at USGS that I could sit down and explain to me in painstaking detail how they come up with that, we could share that. But that was beyond the scope of what we had to do. I don't agree with you, but that was
right. And I would not expect staff to come up with their numbers. I would expect them to justify it. And I could certainly offer an amendment to reduce the price, but I don't think that's fair, and I don't think if we passed it, they would agree to it. That's probably a technical question for legal counsel. I mean, they have they already signed off on it? So if we change the conditions, they would have to it would nullify their approval.
I don't know if they've approved it on their side, but they would have to reapprove it.
Right.
And that is their estimate. So there's no guarantee that when they come back, their estimate won't be higher.
Well, we just wouldn't approve it.
Well,
I wouldn't approve it. But I'd say I'm speaking for myself.
We can do whatever you want. We can do it ourselves if that's what the board wants to do. We're not. We'll take your direction, but I'm just saying that's the danger of any bid you reject. There's a danger of it coming back more.
I understand. We're in between.
They're no different than any consultant.
Right.
Except their funds not the
With the price of gasoline, maybe we better sign this thing right now.
Due to COVID, I had a question on that. The other 10 tests, one of them was uranium. What are the other 9? And specifically, what can we do with that data?
That was just the most, uranium was the most one that we've actually looked at in a lot of different past information that they provided to us. So I don't have a list of, I don't have a list with me of what the other 9 were. What we do with the, and this was a kind of a broad comparison between, you know, we get quite a few different tests for each sample that we take, and there was discussion about the, you know, that cost more per sample. What we're doing with that is making sure that the one that the constituents really need to know about, nitrate, uranium, that they're accurate then. Because are they coming from some other background source, things like that. All these other things help us answer that. So that's really why we're getting the other parameters, is to make sure that we're not getting erroneous information through the things we really want to know that could affect health and things like that from our groundwater testing.
Reject it. I'd love to see a list of the tests, or what are we testing for?
Yeah, I've got a broad list. I can send that. I can provide that to the board. Yeah.
That'd be interesting to me. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Your analysis is that we're getting overcharged by USGS for this test?
Based on their costs submitted, their data they submitted for their costs, it's being overcharged, in my opinion.
So are the other NRDs?
No, they're doing it there. This doesn't apply to the other NRDs.
They're not doing it
for the other NRDs. Maybe they want to jump on board, but I wouldn't advise it based on how they come up with their arithmetic. Director.
I'm just going to ask John, what if we reject this and don't do these tests? What's our liability here? Or Paul.
Just as far as what's required to submit, I suppose the liability, the issue is then you do not have any concerns with groundwater quality in our district. So which I'm assuming is probably not a good stance for the district, but follows the statutory requirements of our sending to DNR. I mean, that would be an issue, too. Unless we do it ourselves, but and if you don't want us to test, I guess we go down that road and see what the consequences are. That's up to you guys.
The only background of where this requirement ties in is it is a factor in our groundwater management plan. So if we don't do the test, we can't make the decisions or the analysis and the decisions that we need to make for the groundwater management plan. So they're required as part of the groundwater management plan. As far as this, and the only tie to that is that plan is approved by the state. So the state expects that we follow our groundwater management plan. Other than that, there's really no overarching oversight that, hey, you have to be doing it this way or have to be doing it, this way. So, but this was as comparable of comparison as we could do.
Is our chief concern nitrates, or is it all 10?
There's more than 10.
There's more than 10.
Yeah, it is probably a handful thing of about 12 things that, some of the metals, pesticides. Nitrate is the one most followed by all the NRDs across the state. And nitrate is the one, probably the main one we need to do those comparisons for our groundwater management plan.
Jeff? Does the Department of Natural Resources also do testing within our district?
No, the DNR or DE, none of them do actual groundwater sampling and testing. So it's just pretty much handled by NRDs across the state.
All right, thanks.
And I think what we heard by the gentleman that came from UNMC is that what they're finding is it's the nitrates interacting with all these other various chemicals that are entering our groundwater and the result. So although nitrates is maybe the catalyst, there is the other pesticides and things that are causing the other problems that because they're interacting with the nitrates. So just to test for nitrates probably wouldn't be, although beneficial, would not be the full complete picture of how your groundwater quality is.
Dr. Bradley.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Yeah, I think if you were trained in public health, again, knowing what elements, what tests, all these tests combined, it helps you eliminate and then, zero in cancer clusters, blue baby syndrome, that. And that's sort of what the gentleman from UNMC was before us talking about. So I really think this is a worthy cause. There's other things on the agenda through the year. We could really peel the layers off the onion and are we getting overcharged in a lot of this? But this is something quite worthy, and it would not be very good in the public eye if this board was to say we're not going to look at groundwater contamination. It's certainly in depth. I wouldn't advise that myself, and I'm going to vote for this proposal. Thank you.
Do we have a motion on the floor on this side?
Yeah.
Well, call a question. What's that? Oh, okay.
Carried over.
Paul, how many times a year do we test?
So we only get the samples once a year from the various well sites, and then so this, what we figured out is we're going to be doing about 75 different actual samples from the different sites each year. And what that will require then is that's our NETRIC, or network wells, once a year. Actually, go to the map if it would there. So we're going to be doing these broad ones here every year. And then during this four-year rotation, we'll go to each of the aquifers and do 30 additional tests in each one of those aquifers that year. So
30.
But again, so those particular aquifers aren't getting they're getting a good look over that 1 year out of four. They're not getting really looked at every year. So only annually, basically.
Follow on, when is this testing going to happen? And should this motion not pass, and we have
Do we have time to have them come back and revise their pricing? Are you going to do them in April or what?
Yeah, well, the contract ends here. They could do that. I guess we do start most of the sampling in June. And they need some lead time to get everything ready to do that in June. So,
part of that indirect cost. You have a question?
Just a comment. Talking to all my farmer friends around coffee, the price of fertilizer going from $400 a ton to $1,500 a ton. All my farmer friends are all going to be cutting back on the fertilizers simply because they can't afford it. And so I would think we're going to see a decrease in nitrates at some point. I hope.
Me too.
All right. You mentioned you were going to do a friendly amendment. Did you have another thought? My comment here is we have a statutory obligation to some of this, and of course it's up to us to determine how we're going to meet those obligations. But I don't like to overpay if we don't need to. I think the question is we don't fully understand what we're paying for, and Director Thompson came up with some glaring differences. Maybe we just need to table it one more month and have them give us a better explanation of how they're arriving at their cost structure.
First of all, what they're doing, I have no problem with. It's just the cost.
And then the timeline. Is there a specific reason why we need to test now, or why don't we test in the middle of the winter? Help me to understand that.
Well, there's taking the samples, and then there's actually processing. So we don't – it will take every time from – and that's why this agreement actually starts in what they call the second quarter of the fiscal year. But in April here is when it's planned that this work on this particular agreement would start. So it's planned to start in April, and it takes that sampling in the middle of summer and then the lab analysis into kind of November to get this all back to us. So it's not just the sampling. There's a lot more to it that takes time. So that's why I'd say the schedule's probably more important to get it started here as soon as we can.
Question?
What's the motion?
The motion is management recommends the board approve the subcommittee's recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the joint funding agreement with USGS for 22-26 groundwater quality monitoring with the not to exceed amount of $622,500, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by legal counsel. It's motion. Roll call.
Beckley.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Nay.
Breckley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sikinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Jefferson.
No. Moving on to item number, where are we? Treasurer's report, Director Larry Bradley.
Mr. Chairman, be it resolved that the treasurer is authorized to expend general funds to pay, one, claims listed in January 14, 2022 through February 10, 2022 financial report, and two, any claims made prior to the next board meeting for items A through J, and I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
You pick. Any public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sikinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Beckley.
Aye.
Chairperson. Yes. Item 13, Chairperson's report.
Okay.
Y'all got a overtime report, and I'll just mention that it's going down. But Teaser, Dr. Teaser, you have a comment on the overtime?
I want to call your attention to how the overtime has gone down year upon year upon year. And I'd like to publicly thank our general manager for overseeing this. This has been something that I know Director Fowler and I watch very closely in conjunction with the general manager. But I want to compliment you on your apparent success in getting the overtime reduced. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. A couple other things real quick. If you all notice, we got a new screen over here. And we got another screen over in the other big room over there for those, as we witnessed today, can follow along. We're progressing in our way. I didn't interrupt the hearing, but when Martin's still there, yeah, uses the laser for this side and for staff future recommendation is, maybe you need to describe, like, it's a column on the right, as opposed to pointing this, but these people are watching, they're looking at the screen, they don't know what he's talking about.
I was looking over there.
that's why it's here, by the way, for this side of the room. And just for future, unless you can figure out a way to...
You could use the mouse, perhaps.
Okay,
there you go.
Bill, good job. The only last thing I want to mention is I want to congratulate... my compatriots here, Conley, Sapinski, Fowler, myself, and Tim will get to you in a second, for not having an opponent for the upcoming election. So thank you all out there for not applying for a position. Tim does have an opponent, but I'm real confident Tim will get survive a primary. Of course, I think we all move on to general anyway. Our names probably won't be on the ballot.
Are you on the ballot?
Probably won't be on the ballot.
Are they on the ballot?
Be together, or are they not?
Because we don't have an opponent, I think.
Yeah, tell the general.
So you won't even see the numbers. Okay, that's what I was asking.
But get out there and vote, y'all. We know how to do that anyway. Item 14, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Information education highlights are attached. You can read through that. We did have the EnviroFon on March 1st. Concordia won again. They seem to win year after year after year. They have a really good program. So the PAPU NRD, we do offer grants to each school that competes in the Metro competition for resource materials and other things like that. Personnel miscellaneous items. So we'd like to thank Senator Mike McDonald for introducing LR 297 that Tim and Jim addressed earlier in the meeting for honoring Marlon Peterman. We will get that framed to... the frame resolution to his wife and family. We want to thank Tim. Catalyst was the one that put the frame together, and they made it really nice. It's just not a piece of paper. So we'd like to thank them for doing that. At this year's NACD annual conference in Orlando, Florida, which Tim Fowler went to, and he's not here this evening, the district received a 100% participation award for recognizing implementing statewide district official training programs. Personnel, Caden Daw was hired to replace Bill Benda as land steward. Jason Willis has submitted his resignation as a Blair Water Supply operator. His last day with the district was the 28th. And then Kyle Madsen submitted his resignation for the PCWC Coordinator 319 grant-funded position. His last day will be March 11th. We're currently advertising for both positions. Also, kudos to Kalani Fortina in the Blair office for receiving a thank you from Patricia Pinto for helping with their animal habitat program. Also, report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal properties attached, as well as a current and ongoing project with the legal counsel. The Papillion Creek Watershed meeting was canceled on February 24th. The next meeting's March 24th. Also, on the Rich and Jim talked about the district overtime comparison, not just on me, obviously the supervisors and employees have done a great job keeping track of this and lowering them when we can. As you can see, though, all it takes is one event, the 2019 flood, or any time we get ice jam flooding or we get spring heavy rains, that tends to go up when we do monitoring. So all it takes is one event to kind of throw that off, but we've done a fantastic job of keeping it within some reason over the last few years. I'll answer Danny Begley's questions. We're not sacrificing any service or we're getting our projects done. So I knew that was coming. So, but yeah, so we're getting all of our work done. We're just doing a better job managing our resources to do that. I also wanted to thank not only our employees but our safety committee. The district received its workers' compensation experience rating, and it was 0.76. Doesn't get much lower than that. So I'd like to thank everybody for that. Hands on. I know Nicole does a great job on that committee and trying to organize all that. So, again, that's something that saves the taxpayers money. Really, not necessarily shows up glaringly, but it does. It has a big difference. So I'd like to thank everybody for continuing to be safe and being safe on the job. Also, the monitors, thank Bill and Curtis and Randy for getting those hooked up. It was a long shipping delay, but I think Curtis went out to the port of Los Angeles and pulled them off the boat himself. And so we got them up. But so this makes it nice. Now everybody can see, the public can see, and so it's going to add quite a bit to the It's really great for PowerPoint presentations when you have an audience, because you don't have to look at the screen. You can look back and see what you're talking about. So we had a leadership class in here, and they were all facing there, and I was doing the presentation, and they go, "Man, you know that material inside and out." I'm like, "Yeah, I do." I don't even need to refer to my notes. So, but no, it was great, and I appreciate them getting that done. So, thank you. Who's Mark?
I wanted to comment. Okay. NACD, by the way, Gene, Director Fowler tried to give me a verbal report on NACD, and I said, "Well, it's not on the agenda. We'll put it on the agenda for next month for his report. He can expand on NACD."
Okay.
Any comments from you?
Any questions or? All right, thank you.
All right, item 15, informational items. It's short. St. Patrick's Day, some people celebrate that next week. Drive safe, people. I'm looking at Larry. Item 16, we are...
Begley.